Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 16, these are God's words. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek Yahweh. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For Yahweh will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For a law will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest as a light of the peoples. My salvation, my righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait upon me, and on my arm they will trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults, for the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of Yahweh. Awake, as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Are you not the arm that cut Rahab apart and wounded the serpent? Are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? So the ransomed of Yahweh shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die, and of the son of a man who will be made like grass? And you forget Yahweh your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor when he has prepared to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, that his bread should not fail. But I am Yahweh your God, who divided the sea, whose waves roared. Yahweh of hosts is his name, and I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Well, in the first 10 verses of this portion, we have three listen to me's. Verse 1, listen to me, you who follow the righteous after righteousness, you who seek Yahweh. Verse 4, listen to me, my people, give ear to me, O my nation. And verse 7, listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Clearly the Lord here is addressing the remnant, the believing remnant, that are going to be shaped by the word of the servant. In fact, it is probably the servant himself who is speaking here. You remember he said in chapter 50 and verse 4, Yahweh God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord Yahweh has opened my ear And so Jesus is first the great listener. Just as we remembered last week in that portion, in his humanity he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with men. But he is the great listener so that he might be the great speaker. And so verse 10, almost at the end of that chapter, just a couple of verses before our portion starts, says, "Who among you fears Yahweh? Who obeys the voice of his servant?" And so it is the voice of the servant, especially in verses 1 through 10 of Psalm 51, that is saying, listen to me, and perhaps the most precious identification of these listeners comes in the second line of verse 7. "You people in whose heart is my law." The word of the servant, the word of our Lord Jesus, is powerful and effective and shapes our hearts. And so this listening to Jesus changes what we see when we look. The first two sections, the first two listen to me sections, have a look command. The first one says, look to the rock and the hole, and the rock turns out to be Abraham, and the hole out of which we were dug turns out to be Sarah. And he's saying he brought life out of that which was inanimate. Abraham was one man by himself, for I called him alone. And Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12, talk about Sarah by faith conceiving a son past the time of childbearing, and very specifically says from Abraham, he says from one man, and he as good as dead. And so that is the description here. In the wilderness, God made water to come out of a rock for the nation of Israel. And in this metaphor, Abraham is an infertile rock, and yet God has made a nation out of him, just as he promised. And so he says that he is going to do the same now. Verse 3, Yahweh will comfort Zion. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert, her wasteland, like the garden of Yahweh. And so, when we listen to God, it changes what we see. What we see now is not something to be discouraged over and to fret about. We may be grieved at the current condition of God's people. Indeed, I would say that you could hardly be biblically minded and look at the state of the church in our day, where we are, and not be grieved. But when we look, it must be according to what we have heard from God. And so, since we know what he is doing, we have confidence that he is producing paradise, and he is gathering all his remnant to himself, and he will perfect them, and every last one of them will come into perfect holiness and perfect happiness. In the second listen section, he says, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath. Now, he's saying, look at these things that look so permanent and so established, but look at them with your listening to what the Lord says. The Lord says these are going to vanish away like smoke and grow old like a garment. So you don't put your hope in any earthly thing. You don't find your treasure in any earthly thing, like we heard in the morning sermon. But also we do not fear any creaturely power or be anxious about them. Because those who are of the heavens and the earth will die in like manner. And so the earth will grow old like a garment, in verse 6, is matched with the moth will eat them up like a garment, in verse 8, about these mocking men, the ones who reproach and the ones who insult. And he says, hear me, listen to me, you people who in whose heart is my law, do not fear those men. Well, if heaven and earth are passing away, and if the mocker and the reproacher, the insulter, is the oppressor is passing away, than what was forever. And you see that in verse 6, and you see that in verse 8, and then you see that marvelously in verse 16. My salvation will be forever. My righteousness will not be abolished. Verse 6. My righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Verse 8. And then at the end in verse 16. I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, talking not only to the servant and to those who have been made like him, who are listeners now and have God's word in his mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth. So this is a new heavens and a new earth, which we're going to hear about again in this last part of Isaiah. But notice who's there. That I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. So the old heavens gone like smoke, the old earth grown old like a garment, but now a new heavens and a new earth. And whereas the reproacher and the insulter has suffered the same fate as the old heavens and earth, Zion is there in the new heavens and the new earth. And he says to them, you are my people. So the first thing that we see is that faith listens to the Lord in how it looks at everything. It does not despair over the day of small things. It does not despise the day of small things with respect to the church or the work that God is doing in the world. And it is not impressed or fearful of those creaturely things that will vanish and will be destroyed. The second thing that we see is that faith cries out for the reawakening of God's display of strength. He said in verse 5, on my arm they will trust, and now faith responds to what God has said by praying for what God has said. And so this prayer in verses 9 through 11, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of Yahweh. Yes, we hear your word. Tell us that your arm will save. Well, now awaken that arm of strength. Perform great works like you have in the past. Now, the word Rahab here is not referring to the Jericho prostitute who was converted. It is a nickname for Egypt, Rahab. Which was pictured as a great serpent dragon and was identified with Egypt in the ancient world. And he's the faithful have taken their cue, and they have remembered what God's word has said about God and what God has done in the past, verses 9 and 10, and they pray that God would show himself to be the same God in the present. And so they pray in verse 11, for that joy and gladness and thanksgiving and melody that the Lord had told them about in verse 3. They take the word of the Lord from Exodus, and they take the word of the Lord from earlier in the chapter, and they pray for those things, that Yahweh will return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads, so that they shall obtain from the Lord, of course, joy and gladness. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So the first thing is, faith listens to what God says and sees everything through the lens of the Word of God. And the second thing is that faith prays for what it has heard from the Word of God. And it prays with confidence and certainty that it is true because of who said it and because of to whom they are praying. And the last thing we see in verses 12 through 16 is that faith must not fear men. God emphasizes himself. He says, I, even I, am he who comforts you. Then he says, who are you that you should be afraid? Not who is that man, or who are those tyrants that you should be afraid of them, but who are you that you should be afraid? Should I overrule what God has said by the anxieties of my heart and my ideas of what may or may not happen? We actually don't have a right to be afraid. Because fear is taking a counter opinion to what God has said. And many of us, I dare say all of us, often need to be rebuked in this way when we are anxious over something, when we fear something. We could come to ourselves with the word, with the scripture here, and say, who are you, self, that you elect to be afraid when God has told you better than that? If we fear a man who will die and a son of man who will be made like grass, verse 12, like we've heard about the oppressor, the mocker, the reproacher, the insulter. If we do that, verse 13 says, then you're forgetting Yahweh your maker. And he is, there is no excuse for forgetting him, because you are always walking under his heavens and on his earth. You literally have an unlimited supply of evidence and reminder of the Lord. And so we mustn't forget Yahweh our Maker. He recognizes our sin in verse 10. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. But end of verse 13. Sorry, did I say that was verse 10? That's verse 13. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. And the end of verse 13 is asking the question that we will be able soon to ask, where is the fury of the oppressor? So not only is it silly to be afraid of it before it comes, or before it's upon you, because it's not there yet. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We'll hear about that in the morning sermon this week. But also, very soon, it will be gone and never be seen again. And they will look for it in the place where it was, and it shall not be found. And so he says, don't be desperate like the captive in verse 14, who hastens. Rather, trust in Yahweh our God, verse 15. The one who, and he picks up the language of their own prayer, as they had prayed, are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? And his answer in verse 15 is, yes, I am Yahweh your God who divided the sea, whose waves roared. And so he comes reminding us these things, yes, with some rebuke, yes, with some chastening, but not with fury. Remember the speech in verse 12 through 16 begins with, I, even I, am he who comforts you. And it reminds us of this entire section of Isaiah that began in chapter 40, comfort, comfort my people. And he starts proclaiming to us over and over again, the servant who will come and be the Savior. And so faith mustn't fear men, which would be to forget God. He has given us the heavens. He has given us the earth, both which remind us of him. He has given us his past performance, what he did for his people with Egypt. And with God, past performance is indicative of future results. And he has given us his word, which he puts in our heart, verse 7. He puts in our mouth, verse 16. And we may be sure that just as his salvation and his righteousness are forever, so will we be forever with him in the new heavens and the new earth. So this is how faith responds, not the way Israel has been responding up until this point, but the way that the servant's people are reshaped by the servant's words to respond to God. May the Lord reshape your mind and your heart by his words, so that you will live with this hope and joy and certainty. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this portion of your word. Thank you for giving us some time to read it, think about it. We pray that your spirit would bring it much to mind and give us to continue meditating upon it and benefiting from it, even as we have read and heard, that you would write it upon our hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.